This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 13th of January 2016 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. On today's programme, we're taking to the stage for a guide to what's on in London's West End. Joining me here in studio is the theatre critic for The Times, Dominic Maxwell. We'll be discussing two new revivals, one of the drama Les Liaisons Dangereuses and the other of musical hit Guys and Dolls. Plus, we'll visit the UK premiere of Richard Greenberg's play The Dazzle. That is all to come on the Monocle Arts Review, so do stick around. We're going to begin today's show at the Donmar Warehouse for a new production of the scandalous drama Dangerous Liaisons, or Les Liaisons Dangereuses, which I'll try to give a bit of French flair to. Under the direction of Josie Rourke, this stars Dominic West and Janet McTeer as the sadistic aristocratic duo who set out to toy with the hearts and reputations of others. Dominic, I guess a lot of people will think back to the former stage incarnation, the movie, of course, was made to great acclaim back in the 1980s, I think.
About 88, I think, yeah.
Yeah. How does this measure up to those august predecessors?
It's a lot of fun. I didn't see the original production. I have seen the film, but again, not since it came out. I think what's interesting for me, comparing it to my memories anyway, is compared to John Malkovich and Glenn Close, I expected them to be very silky, sort of for Dominic West to be almost have a sort of George Sanders element to him. And he doesn't really. And initially you think, I sort of expected them to have a bit more fun with it than this. But that actually, in the long term, really works in its favour, because although this pair are manipulative and nasty and sexy, where this production gets you in the second half is actually something where there's some emotional punch, and it pays off the fact that they're playing them as real people, not caricatures.
And do you think that, you know, for, I don't know what you'd call it, the modern audience, the contemporary audience, they want to see that substance and the sort of overly, I don't know, theatrical sort of villainy that you've already alluded to? It's good, it's entertaining, it can be a jolly romp. Maybe the audience is, you know, after something a bit more nuanced, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could get away with either version if you do it well. Mm. And I don't want to imply that it's sort of four-square naturalism or anything here. But I think the great thing about the plot is it's such a good adaptation. It's such a great story. You know, we might touch on this later with The Dazzle, but theatre doesn't always major on plot. And this one just rolls along so beautifully. Every scene has a beginning, middle, end, pushes you forward, digs you deeper. It's just a delight.
So, I mean, is that about having, you know, it's the original work, it's having a great script to play from? I mean, how does the skill or otherwise potentially of the leads speak to that? What about the staging? You know, it's obviously all of these things contribute to, you know, a great evening at the theatre.
Well, I think one of the things about doing it at the Donmar, which is a 240-seater and everyone is close to the stage, is one of the best venues in London in that way, because everyone is sort of right up as if they're on stage, is it's quite a sexy piece, both in the amount of sort of talk about sex and seduction there is and in the way the cast present themselves, but also because you're so close, you kind of feel complicit. I mean, they're terrible, terrible people, Janet McTeer and Dominic West's characters. And Dominic West does something that you could say is probably, I mean, it's rape. And yet, you can't help but like him as well. And it's horrible. You think, I sympathise with this man. I kind of want him to get what he wants. But why? Why? Because he's awful. And I think the reason why, which is not to excuse rape, of course, but in the context of the play, the reason why is he has this tenderness. He is in love with this Janet McTeer character, and it's going badly.
It's interesting talking about some of these, you know, fairly difficult subjects which are dealt with in this piece, and it's been described as vividly feminist in some quarters. This adaptation, do you go along with that? And where's that sort of remark coming from, do you think, in this wider context?
I think maybe it's because although the main character is this male seducer, we see the women's points of view very clearly. And actually, the great manipulator is the Janet McTeer character. It's her who is wrapping him round her little finger. So yes, I think it's feminist in that it exposes him. That's why it's great, because for all that we sympathise with him, we see him clearly. We like him somehow, but we don't like what he does.
Well, you can go and be sort of, I don't know, disgusted and delighted and in equal measure. Liaison Dangereuse is on at the Donmar Warehouse until the 13th of February. If you miss out on tickets, it will be broadcast in selected cinemas throughout the UK later this month, which is always rather nice to see. Let's move on, Dominic, shall we, to something of a musical classic that's played in London in various recreations in the past, Guys and Dolls. This time showing at the Savoy Theatre. We talked a little bit about the Donmar and what that viewing experience can be like. What did you make of the Savoy's production?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun. I mean, you'll know, many people will know Guys and Dolls. It's got some great songs and it's got some great set pieces in it. This production started out about 18 months ago in Chichester with about half the same cast. And it's interesting. It's one of those things. Back then, Sophie Thompson as Miss Adelaide it was her show, really. Mm. She was hilarious. She was sympathetic. She sang and danced beautifully. She took the character to sort of an extreme, a comedic extreme, but got away with it. Here, she's still terrific. But it's Jamie Parker as Skye Masterson. And Jamie Parker, he'll be playing the grown-up Harry Potter in the Harry Potter play, or plays rather, later this summer. It's his show, really. He's got a panache. He's got a swagger. He's more American than he was before. He pulls it off, and he just makes it. You sit there with a smile on your face.
I mean, it must be interesting going to watch a show like this, which, as you've mentioned, you know, people know very well. You know the tunes. A lot of the kind of the dramatic devices are familiar to people. I mean, how much of a challenge is that, I guess, to then stage something that has, you know, the kind of electricity that you need to make a musical really come to life, the dynamism as well, when people have probably such preconceived ideas? Is it about changing the fundamentals or sticking to what you know works? How do you think people strike the balance?
That's tricky, isn't it? I mean, there's a very, very good performances, a very good quartet of performances at the centre. There's David Haig as well, who is a bit David Haig-y, it should be said. Yeah. Maybe he's a little too English, not in his accent, but in his mannerisms as Nathan Detroit, who's the putz who's trying to set up this craps game that's at the centre of it all. And you've got someone less well-known, Siobhan Harrison, as Sarah Brown, the Salvation Army. What do you call it? Salvation Army's captain? No, what is she?
Yeah, I forget. Yeah.
Who he's after. You get a great rapport between them. They sing beautifully, but also the dancing is really important. Mm. Carlos Acosta and Andrew Wright have done the choreography. And without overstressing it, they just bring a heat to it, particularly a couple of moments. There's set pieces in the first and second half. There's a bit where they go to Havana in the first half, and that just roars into life. And there's the big set piece, which which it just got the most enormous response, and I'm sure gets it every night, Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat, which is a great song anyway. But the way they do it is what you go to a musical for. It's just that sense of absolute joy you feel in your stomach.
Oh, it's interesting you use that word joy. I mean, there is clearly a joyousness here. Do we sometimes forget that, as you just said, that's what these things should be about? You want to go and be, you know, have your spirits lifted. And it doesn't matter if it's not, you know, the cleverest thing or the most challenging.
It's clever in the sense that it's so well constructed. It's so witty, both in the dialogue and in Frank Lesser's songs. It manages to, I don't want to over-egg this, but let's egg it quite strongly.
No, we like plenty of egg, that's fine, yeah.
It just pulls it off, and this production rises to the challenge very, very well.
Oh, there you go. Let Your Spirit Soar. Guys and Dolls is on at the Savoy Theatre until the 12th of March in London, so you've got plenty of time to catch it. Dominic, finally, we're going to Found 111 on Charing Cross Road for the UK premiere of Richard Greenberg's drama The Dazzle. What's the story with this one, Dominic, first?
Yeah, what is the story? No, well, I'll tell you what the story is, and we'll get to why maybe there's not enough story in a moment. It's based on a real pair of brothers, Homer and Langley Collier, in the first half of the century in New York. And he was a sort of savant pianist, brilliant, but somewhere on the spectrum pianist. And his brother, Homer, was a lawyer who retired. And it's about their codependent relationship as Homer sinks away from, Langley, the brother, the pianist brother, sinks away from performance. And they just sort of hole up in this house of theirs in Harlem, and gradually retreat further and further from the real world and objects pile up. And so we see them at the height of his powers in the first half with an engagement that goes wrong. Then the second half, we see them a few years later, increasingly codependent, increasingly isolated. As I hear myself say that, I think maybe some of my boredom is seeping through. So I'm sorry about that. I know a lot of people have really, really liked this play and this production.
Mm.
And I can see that. It's a very good production. It's very well acted. The set is terrific. You're in this former Central St. Martin's school, this cramped location, great furniture and all of that. But it was very much the kind of experience when I was sitting there thinking, yeah, I really admire this. Why am I so bored?
I wonder, it's interesting, some of the things that Richard Greenberg's had to say about this. He's mentioned that he doesn't know very much about the backstory of these people on whom he based the play. Could that be why? Is there some kind of disconnect between the true characters that maybe you want to know more about and something's been somehow lost in translation or adaptation?
Yeah,
somehow?
I think what he's got here, for me, is more a sketch than a play, in that we see their relationship, beautifully played by Andrew Scott as the pianist and David Dawson as his brother, the lawyer. Beautifully played, but we kind of get it, or I kind of feel we kind of get it very quickly. We see their relationship, we see who they are, and then they just sort of keep doing it, really. And there's some very witty dialogue, some Oscar Wilde-ish sort of dialogue in the first half. In the second half, it gets more... It's about stasis, which I think is always dangerous. Unless you're Samuel Beckett, it's very hard to get away with two people trapped in a situation together, not really going anywhere, not really doing anything.
Stasis is not that exciting, necessarily.
You've really got to have an angle on something to get away with that.
And I guess this is sort of pitched as it is a sort of tragicomic story.
Yeah.
And does this just serve to remind how difficult it is to write and bring to the stage tragicomedy incredibly well? It takes a rare level of skill, I guess.
Yeah, and I think, like I say, a lot of people have liked it. And those who like it, I think, go for the detail. They go for the performance. They go for the undoubted wit and sophistication in the dialogue. But for me, I wanted it to move on more. I didn't really care.
Right. Oh, well, this is quite a damning problem. Just to pick up on a couple of the performances, you mentioned that Andrew Scott's there, of course, and I know it's probably annoying for people who have great appreciation of stagecraft for me to ask, oh, you mean off the telly?
Yeah, come on, he sees Moriarty off the telly.
What will it do? Let's say maybe fans of his from Sherlock go to see him in this. Will they see, I don't know, the same actor? Will they see kernels of that performance? Or could they be surprised, even if they're fans of his work?
He's play and eccentric, like I say, on the spectrum, autistic, not fully autistic. He has an intensity about him. He has a precision about him. He's not at all the same character as Jim Moriarty, but he is, once again, not playing an everyday guy.
Yeah.
I think they'll find things to admire, as I did. Mm. Whether they're caught up in the story is another matter.
And just briefly, I know you talked about the space, the former Central St. Martin's. How does the space work? Is this an exciting sort of addition? Did that all come together? What was your view of it?
It was used a couple of months ago for a revival of Barry Keefe's play Barbarians. I have been in that space before. I don't think it's going to be there for much longer because I think it's being converted into, I don't know, luxury flats, aren't most things. But I know its lifespan isn't very long. It's atmospheric. You sit around the action, there's a piano there, and then the clutter comes in. It's good atmosphere. I think that my problem with it is this. In the first half, you want a sort of sense of grandeur leading to a sense of decay in the second half. Mm. Whereas because it's such a strong atmosphere, I kind of felt we were in the same place the whole time. It just gets a bit more clogged. And so what with the actors not really aging particularly, that expanded my sense of nothing really new being given to, or not enough new being given to us as the show goes on.
Intriguing. Well, you can go and judge for yourselves. Found 111, The Dazzle is on there until the end of this month. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Dominic, thanks very much for coming to see us, as ever. That's Dominic Maxwell, our guest today. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow for our literary discussion with Kathy Rensenbrink. But for now, it's goodbye. Thank you very much for listening.